I mean essential. Both the repertoire that we're choosing and the recordings of works that we're going to play on the programme will be of exceptional quality.
I think there's going to be enough variety to keep you entertained.
I think it's going to be a highlight of many people's mornings.
Your essential start to the working day.
Great music, plenty of it.
This is Essential Classics.
Weekday mornings from 9 until 12 on BBC Radio 3.
And that's what you're listening to at the moment. 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's just gone 1 o'clock. Time for the news from Ian Skelly.
Labour has urged the Chancellor, George Osborne, to listen to criticism of his economic strategy from the senior Conservative MP, Andrew Tyrie. Mr Tyrie said the government did not have a credible plan for economic growth and called for a cut in business tax. The Health Secretary, Andrew Lansley, has said ministers are already taking action on growth. The Education Secretary, Michael Gove, has recommended that children begin learning foreign languages at the age of 5. His call follows a drop of more than 150,000 in the numbers sitting a language GCSE. Mr. Gove said language learning strengthened neural networks in the brain. The Afghan President, Hamid Karzai, has said his government will no longer try to negotiate for peace with the Taliban. He's pledged instead to talk to Pakistan to try to bring security to Afghanistan. Red Cross aid workers are reported to have arrived in the Libyan city of Sirte, where pro-Gaddafi troops are still holding out against forces loyal to the new interim government. Anti-Gaddafi commanders say they'll try to coordinate with the Red Cross to allow the aid staff to enter during the pause in shelling. Kenyan Coast Guard vessels are surrounding a boat carrying a gang which kidnapped a French woman from the island of Lamu. The abduction happened near the resort where a British woman, Judith Tebbutt, was seized last month. The Scotland Yard officer, Ali Desai, whose conviction for misconduct and perverting the course of justice was overturned, is to appeal against his suspension from the Metropolitan Police. An independent panel has ruled that he should be able to return to the force pending his retrial. In the Rugby Union World Cup, England beat Scotland 16-12 and are through to the quarterfinals, where they'll play France. And the weather for this afternoon, many parts of Northern Ireland and Scotland will have rain, which could be heavy at times. Northwest England and Wales may also have showers. Elsewhere, though, it'll be another dry, largely sunny and hot day. And tomorrow will almost be exceptionally warm in the south too. And that's the BBC News and the weather at 2 minutes past one.
And now the early music show. Here's Catherine Bott.
Hello. In today's programme, highlights of a concert given at the 2011 Spitalfields Festival in the East End of London. The artists and the white and gold elegance of the restored Hawksmoor masterpiece that is Christchurch were the Polish ensemble Arte dei Suonatori, who made a tremendous impact a few years ago when they were joined by violinist Rachel Podger on an award-winning recording of Vivaldi concertos. For this programme, their guest was the Swedish recorder virtuoso Dan Laurin, and it proved a very stimulating collaboration. More about all the players a little later, but for now, let's get straight into music. Vivaldi's Concerto for Strings in D Major, RV 124.
Thank you.
Arte dei Suonatori, demonstrating an exciting, rather visceral way with Vivaldi in that Concerto for Strings, their opener for the concert from the Spitalfields Festival that's the subject of today's early music show. An article in the festival programme mentions the sublime acoustics of Christchurch. Baroque music in particular has always, quite appropriately, bloomed in the church, which was pretty scruffy in the early days of the Spitalfields Festival. Students of Baroque church architecture and musicians alike were amazed to discover its wrecked beauty. But there was no getting away from the ghoulish spiel of the Jack the Ripper tour guides across the road. The Spitalfields area is a great deal smarter now, but miraculously, the restoration of Christchurch has left those sublime acoustics unimpaired. Not always the case when the patina of history is scrubbed off the stonework. Arte dei Suonatori were collaborating in this programme with recorder player Dan Laurin, described as one of the most interesting and sometimes controversial performers on the instrument. Perhaps they say that because he's constantly pushing the boundaries of the recorder sound world, and he regards new music for the instrument as a vital force. Dan Laurin talks about his work with tremendous articulacy and passion. The next music we'll hear is his arrangement of part of Vivaldi's violin warhorse, The Four Seasons, and here he is explaining how he went about his task.
My intention with this work was to try to find new ways of interpreting the piece. And since I'm a recorder player, I have to do it on the recorder. Arrangements are always very much criticized by people, and I can understand that. I mean, taking someone else's music and stealing it and adopting it and tweaking it is not looked on, especially not in early music circles, where this term authenticity is a plague. So I didn't take that into consideration. I just thought, I love this music. I want to play it. But what I didn't know at that time when I started my work was it would take me 2 years. It was quite a process trying to solve the problems of range. For example, the violin has a much larger range, and so I had to adopt the piece in certain ways. And I also use, not tonight, but for making them all happen, I had to use some odd sizes recorders, like soprano recorder in A and B flat, and which are indeed original models, so to speak, Baroque originals. I mean, they're based on Baroque instruments that existed at the time. So why not use them and see how they would fit? Now, the reason for doing this is, of course, to play it on the recorder is I want to offer another interpretation. I want to be as true as I can to the cycle of events here. The Four Seasons resembles more or less the cycle of life, the cycle of season, cycle of life. And I try to make the drama of each season stand out a little bit. There is always a connection between all the movements. There's all this use of bizarre elements. There are dogs barking and mosquitoes biting and deers being shot and hunted and God knows what. And I've made it my task to make it clear and take out the operatic quality of these pieces.
Dan Laurin on Vivaldi, and I'll just add that his website, danlaurin.com, is a pleasure to investigate. Click on the section called Private Lessons, and I defy you not to want to take up the recorder. Now he joins Arte dei Suonatori to play Vivaldi's Concerto in G minor, RV315, better known to us as Summer.
Thank you.
Summer from the concertos by Vivaldi, also known as the Four Seasons, played in that arrangement for recorder and strings by Dan Laurin and Arte dei Suonatori. Time to hear the strings on their own again now. The group was formed in Poland in 1993 by violinists Ewa and Aureliusz Goliński, who gathered together the best young Polish period instrument performers. Well, that was how it began, but over the years the group has acquired members from all over Europe. Here's their cellist to tell us more.
My name is Tomasz Pokrzywinski. The group has been formed in the 90s. The beginnings go back to the kind of early 90s. But on a more serious scale, I would say, it started in 98 with a traveling festival, Persona Grata, which is really a kind of ongoing season of concerts that we do in Poland. And we keep that until now. The group is based in Poland. Originally, it was formed in Poznań. But obviously, the players come from many different places in Poland. And the group has actually worked a lot with musicians from the whole Europe since the very beginning. This was actually the initial idea of the leaders of the ensemble at the beginning, because of how the economical reality was in Poland. They couldn't afford to go and study in Western Europe, but they had this idea of getting amazing musicians from there to come and work with them in Poland so that they could learn from them in their own country by making music together. So that was the beginning. And then obviously there is always some rotation in the freelance ensembles. So many, many musicians came, and some of them as guest artists, some of them as they became almost like permanent members. And it has been like that actually until now. I mean, today we are performing in a very very Polish setting. Only the soloist is not Polish. He comes from Sweden. Usually, it's not only Polish musicians who play in the group.
Cellist Tomasz Pokrzywinski of Arte dei Suonatori, literally Art of Players. The lineup for this Spitalfields Festival concert was 3 first and 3 second violins, 1 viola, 1 cellist, double bass and harpsichord. And next we hear them making the most of some more Vivaldi, this time a concerto for strings in E minor, RV 134.
Thank you.
Vivaldi's Concerto for Strings in E minor, RV 134, played by Arte dei Suonatori. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, and I hope you're revelling as I am in the sonorities of the Suonatori as they play music that's exactly suited to its surroundings. Nicholas Hawksmoor's Christchurch in Spitalfields was begun in 1714 and finished in 1729, Vivaldi's heyday. The church's dates are just right for the musical heyday of the other composer featured in this Arte dei Suonatori concert, Georg Philipp Telemann, who became musical director of 5 Hamburg churches in 1721. The recorded concerto we'll hear now was originally written for the fashionable flute, but as Dan Laurin explains, Telemann was a recorder player through and through.
The concerto in F major by Telemann is by far his most extrovert piece for the recorder. Telemann played the recorder throughout his life. He began with it just like I did. He uses it very effectively. It seems that he favours the very high register of the instrument, making it easy to balance a slightly larger orchestra than normal. Technically, this is demanding. There's a lot of passage work, especially in the second movement, which uses all the rhetorical figures of a storm. So there would be a lot of imagined wind machines going on here. First movement, however, is absolutely serene, beautiful singing in the highest register of the recorder. And he exposes even the instrument outside the normal range. I'd say we would go up almost a fifth above the normal from Baroque periods. Third movement is a very, how shall I put it, tragic movement. It's completely like someone who has no hope anymore. It comes quite like a shock after the second movement, which is all fire or wind in this case, and fun and virtuosic and God knows what. And then there is this lacoon of intense sorrow and pain. It's so out of the blue. The contrast to the previous movement is enormous. And after that kind of tour de force of emotions, what can we do? We have to shake it out. So there is a little menuet at the end, a little dance to get it out of the system. And, well, the concerto it's a demanding piece. Vivaldi is a little bit more demanding in some of his concerti, but that's usually because Vivaldi is not so good at writing for the recorder. He thinks of it as a violin, so he uses violin formulas, and whereas Telemann is really a woodwind composer and uses the instrument to its fullest. It's a beautiful, beautiful concerto, one of the best of our repertoire from this period.
Dan Laurin was the soloist with Arte dei Suonatori in Telemann's Concerto for Recorder and Strings in F major. As a young man, Telemann spent several years working at the court of Count Erdmann II von Promnitz in Zorau, which today is in Poland. He enjoyed country life and getting to know Polish and Moravian folk music in what he called its true barbarian beauty. So, to end our selection from the concert given by the Polish-based ensemble Arte dei Suonatori as part of the 2011 Spitalfields Festival, here's Telemann in Polish mood. This is his Concerto Polonois for strings in G major.
Thank you.
Polish ensemble Arte de Suonatore playing the Concerto Polonois in G major by Telemann, ending today's programme, which was presented by Catherine Bott. And in tomorrow's Early Music Show, Lucy Skeeping will be exploring the life and work of the Tudor composer Peter Phillips. And the Early Music Show now has its own weekly podcast featuring edited highlights from the programmes. Full details on the Radio 3 website.
They queued through the night this July, not for a tennis match, but for the main players in the world of opera. BBC Radio 3 brings you one of the hottest tickets of the year, the Royal Opera's Tosca with Bryn Terfel, Jonas Kaufmann and Angela Gheorghiu. And for once, the critics were just as appreciative. The stars were shining, they said, the chemistry unmistakable, this Tosca was tasty and then some. Opera on 3 brings you everything from first note to last, together with interviews with the stars and a look behind the opera. Tonight at 6 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
And so now, the lunchtime concert, a second chance to hear last Monday's recital from London's Wigmore Hall, introduced by Katie Derham.
Welcome to London's Wigmore Hall for a concert dedicated to the legendary Hungarian violinist, composer and friend of the greats, Jozef Joachim. I am looking forward to this because the violinist who has taken it upon himself to research and celebrate Joachim's work is Daniel Hope, not only a phenomenally popular and critically acclaimed British performer, but you know that when he gets his teeth into a project like this, there is a high likelihood that we're going to learn something fresh and exciting. So, today is all about discovering Joachim. As Daniel puts it, Joachim's not just the player who helped his friend Brahms sort out the violin concerto, but a superbly talented musician who had a profound influence on a roll call of great romantic composers. Just think, his stamp is on violin concertos written by Bruch, Schumann, Dvorak, as well as Brahms. He was a protege of Mendelssohn, and he introduced Brahms to the Schumanns. He is, in fact, as Daniel puts it, the missing link of musical romanticism. In today's recital, we're going to hear Daniel joined by his old friend and collaborator, the renowned German pianist Sebastian Knauer. They'll be playing Brahms' second violin sonata and a piece by Joachim himself and a Brahms Hungarian dance. But first, Grieg's Violin Sonata No. 3 in C minor. Now, this is a piece that Joachim frequently played with Grieg himself. They toured together. And Joachim wouldn't have just any old pianist. Oh, no, he usually played with either Clara Schumann or with Brahms. Grieg was a fine violinist himself, and so their friendship was based on mutual admiration and respect. The piece, the third sonata, was one of Grieg's favourites, and it has become a real standard of the repertoire. It's always popular. Here is Daniel Hope with Sebastian Knauer to play Grieg's Violin Sonata No. 3 in C minor, Opus 45.